again, podcast friends. Welcome to our very last episode of Season 2 of the Melody Mystery and Mayhem Podcast.
Yes, and Episode 20 is not only our final episode for 2016, it will also be our final episode for a while.
What do you mean, Sophia?
Well, as it turns out, producing a variety show-style family podcast takes a whole lot of work.
And while we love recording these episodes for the families listening, there's just no way we can get around the amount of time it involves.
Does that mean we'll never sing again?
Oh no, sweetie pie. We will always be singing in this house. We want all the families listening right now to keep on singing and reading loud stories and play acting and telling jokes and reciting poetry and all the other things we try to do in this podcast. But for now, we just aren't able to continue doing them in the form of this podcast. However, as our mama likes to say, we'll see what the Lord has in store. So this doesn't mean you'll never hear from the Melody Mystery and Mayhem crew again. It just means that right now we need a good, long break.
Well then, it's time for our theme song. One very last time.
Last read aloud this season, our daddy reads aloud Witch's Loaves by O. Henry.
Miss Martha Meacham kept a little bakery on the corner, the one where you go up three steps, and the bell tinkles when you open the door. Miss Martha was 40. Her bank book showed a credit of $2,000, and she possessed 2 false teeth and a sympathetic heart. Many people have married whose chances to do so were much inferior to Miss Martha's. 2 or 3 times a week, a customer came in whom she began to take an interest. He was a middle-aged man, wearing spectacles and a brown beard trimmed to a careful point. He spoke English with a strong German accent. His clothes were worn and darned in places, and wrinkled and baggy in others. But he looked neat and had very good manners. He always bought 2 loaves of stale bread. Fresh bread was 5 cents a loaf. Stale ones were 2 for 5. Never did he call for anything but stale bread. Once Miss Martha saw a red and brown stain on his fingers. She was sure that he was an artist and very poor. No doubt he lived in a garret where he painted pictures and ate stale bread and thought of the good things to eat in Miss Martha's bakery. Often, when Miss Martha sat down to her chops and light rolls and jam and tea, she would sigh and wish that the gentle-mannered artist might share her tasty meal instead of eating his dry crust in that drafty attic. Miss Martha's heart, as you've been told, was a sympathetic one. In order to test her theory as to his occupation, she brought from her room one day a painting that she had bought at a sale and set it against the shelves behind the bread counter. It was a Venetian scene, a splendid marble palazzo, so it said on the picture, stood in the foreground, or rather the forewater. For the rest, there were gondolas, with the lady trailing her hand in the water, clouds, sky, and chiaroscuro in the plenty. No artist could fail to notice it. 2 days afterward, the customer came in.
2 loaves of stale bread, if you please. You have here a fine picture, madam, he said while he was wrapping up the bread.
Yes, says Miss Martha, reveling in her own cunning. I do so admire art and... No, it would not do to say artists thus early. And paintings, she substituted. You think it is a good picture?
Their balance, said the customer, is not in good drawing. Their perspective is not true. Good morning, madame.
He took his bread, bowed, and hurried out. Yes, he must be an artist. Miss Martha took her picture back to her room. How gentle and kindly his eyes shone behind his spectacles. What a broad brow he had to be able to judge perspective at a glance and to live on stale bread. But genius often has to struggle before it is recognized. What a thing it would be for an art and perspective of genius were backed by $2,000 in the bank, a bakery, and a sympathetic heart, too. But these were daydreams, Miss Martha. Often now, when he came, he would chat for a while across the showcase. He seemed to crave Miss Martha's cheerful words. He kept on buying stale bread. Never a cake, never a pie, never one of her delicious Sally Lunns. She thought he began to look thinner and discouraged. Her heart ached to add something good to eat to his meager purchase, but her courage failed at the act. She did not dare affront him. She knew the pride of artists. Miss Martha took to wearing her blue dotted silk waist behind the counter. In the back room, she cooked a mysterious compound of quince seeds and borax. Ever so many people used it for the complexion. One day, the customer came in as usual, laid his nickel on the showcase, and called for his stale loaves. While Miss Martha was reaching for them, there was a great tooting and clanging, and a fire engine came lumbering past. The customer hurried to the door to look, as anyone will. Suddenly inspired, Miss Martha seized the opportunity. On the bottom shelf behind the counter was a pound of fresh butter that the dairyman had left 10 minutes before. With bread knife, Miss Martha made a deep slash in each of the stale loaves, inserted a generous quantity of butter, and pressed the loaves tight again. When the customer turned once more, she was tying the paper around them. When he had gone, after an unusually pleasant little chat, Miss Martha smiled to herself, but not without a slight fluttering of the heart. Had she been too bold? Would he take offense? But surely not. There was no language of edibles. Butter was no emblem of unmaidenly forwardness. For a long time that day, her mind dwelt on the subject. She imagined the scene when he should discover her little deception. He would lay down his brushes and palette. There would stand his easel with the picture he was painting, in which the perspective was beyond criticism. He would prepare for his luncheon of dry bread and water. He would slice into a loaf. Ah! Miss Martha blushed. Would he think of the hand that placed it there as he ate? Would he? The front door bell jangled viciously. Somebody was coming in, making a great deal of noise. Miss Martha hurried to the front. 2 men were there. One was a young man smoking a pipe, a man she had never seen before. The other was her artist. His face was very red. His hat was on the back of his head. His hair was wildly rumpled. He clenched his 2 fists and shook them ferociously at Miss Martha. At Miss Martha!
Dummkopf! He shouted with extreme loudness. And then, Dasse Dunfer!
Or something like it in German.
The young man tried to draw him away. "I will not go," he said angrily, "else I shall told her." He made a bass drum of Miss Martha's counter. "You have spurt me," he cried, his blue eyes blazing behind his spectacles. "I will tell you. You was von marrying some old cat." Miss Martha leaned weakly against the shelves and laid one hand on her blue dotted silk waist. The young man took the other by the collar. "Come on," he said. "You've said enough." He dragged the angry one out at the door to the sidewalk and then came back. "Guess you ought to be told, ma'am," he said, "what the row was about. That's Blumberger. He's an architectural draftsman. I work in the same office with him. He's been working hard for 3 months, drawing a plan for a new city hall. It was a prize competition. He finished inking the lines yesterday. You know, a draftsman always makes his drawing in pencil first. When it's done, he rubs out the pencil lines with handfuls of stale breadcrumbs. That's better than India rubber. Blumberger's been buying the bread here. Well, today, well, you know, ma'am, that butter isn't, well, Blumberger's plan isn't good for anything now, except to cut up into railroad sandwiches." Miss Martha went back into the room. She took off the blue dotted silk waist and put on the old brown serge she used to wear. Then she poured the quince seed and borax mixture out of the window into the ash can.
And now, onto another hymn with our friends Patrick and Molly Lockwood. This time, it's "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." And because it's our very last episode of 2016, we wanted to include a second hymn, "This Is My Father's World," to give you something extra to sing along to, just in case you find yourselves in the back of your minivan with nothing to do on a long car ride to Grandma's house.
This is my Father's world, and
episode, we will recite three poems. First off, William will recite The Little Turtle by Vachel Lindsay. Then Sophia will perform The Yak by Hilaire Belloc. Then I will recite My Gift by Christina Rossetti.
The Little Turtle by Vachel Lindsay. I had a little turtle who lived in a box. He swam in a puddle. He climbed on a rock. He snapped at a mosquito. He snapped at a flea. He snapped at a minnow. And he snapped at me. He caught the mosquito. He caught the flea. He caught the minnow, but he didn't catch me.
The Yak by Hilaire Belloc. As a friend to the children, commend me the yak. You will find it exactly the thing. It will carry and fetch. You may ride on its back or lead it about with a string. The Tartar lives on the plains of Tibet, a desolate region of snow. Has for centuries made it a nursery pet, and surely the Tartar should know. So tell your papa where the yak can be got, and if he is awfully rich, he will buy you the creature, or else he will not. I cannot be positive which.
My Gift by Christina Rossetti. Oh, what can I give him, as poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Oh, what can I give him? Give my heart.